So come with me to the book of 2 Kings, if you may, please. 2 Kings, chapter 4. 2 Kings, chapter 4. I'm going to take it up from verse 1. 2 Kings 4 and verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." Let me stop there for a moment. The word of God says here that this man that died was a disciple or a servant, one who worked closely with Elisha the prophet. It tells us that this man feared the Lord. He honored God. He was not a bad man. He honored God. But then it says, he died and the creditors had come to take unto them his two sons. Something is wrong here. He's working with a great man of God. He loves God, but he's in debt. This does not compute. This should not be so. So what is happening here? The Bible says, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" Wait a minute. The guy is with Elisha. He loves God, but is in debt. And Elisha is asking the wife who just came to him to say, "We're broke and they want my children." He says to her, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you have in your house?" Could it possibly be that all this time there was something in that man's house that was to solve his problem and he did not know it? What is in your house? What is in your house? And she said, "Thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil." "I only have a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Wait a minute, man of God. I just told you I'm in debt. I just told you we are broke. I just told you I just have one little pot of oil. And you are telling me that the solution is to go borrow some more. For what? Well, when you borrowed these pots of oil, I want you to shut yourself in and I want you to take the pot of oil that you've got and begin to pour it inside all those borrowed pots. Now, this makes a whole load of sense. It does make a whole lot of sense. But the reality of the things of God is that many times it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But a key factor I want us to grasp right away is this, that the man of God said that she had something in her house that can solve her problem. When God wants to do something extraordinary in your life, He starts with what you've got in your life. When God wants to do something extraordinary with your life, He starts with something He already knows you've got. Before He asks you to go out there, He wants you to identify what you have in your life. What gifts, what talents, what resources do you have? Because that's what He's going to use to produce the miracles He is going to bring about. It's what's in your hand. What's in your house. I want you and I to reflect this morning on what it is that we have. Because the fact is, many times we have so much and we don't know that we have it. You're clueless. You don't know you have it. It's like Scotiabank says, you're richer than you think. Yeah. You're richer than you think. You got more than you think. You think, child of God, that you've got a bad hand. And God says, I can make any hand win. One with God is majority. Hallelujah. But God wants to do something with what you have. With what you have. He's not looking for something out there, something extraordinary. He's looking for whatever it is that you have right now. What do you have? We don't have wine. What do you have? We've got water. Water it is. I remember many years ago, the Lord asked me a question. He said to me, he said, son, what was my first miracle? I said, you turned water into wine. And he said, no, that's not it. I said, what do you mean that's not it? I said, it says in the Bible, you turned water into wine. And I brought my Bible and I read it to God. You see, it says here. And he said, no. I said, what do you mean no? The Bible is right here. This is your Bible. You turn water into wine. This is the first. He said, no. I said, then what is it? He said, my first miracle was I broke the power of lack. Oh. He said, what they lacked was wine. And I broke that power. What God wants to do in your life and in my life is to break the stronghold of lack. And how does He start? He starts with whatever it is that we've got. What's in your hand? What's in your house? That's where He starts. When God wants to turn things around, He's not asking you about what don't you have. Because what you don't have, you don't have. So why spend the time worrying about what you don't have when you can focus on what you've got and make the best of whatever it is that you've got? We can live life sitting down and talking about all the reasons why we cannot this and why we cannot that and why we cannot this and why we cannot that. And God is simply saying, what do you have? I remember many years ago, the Lord was speaking to me about starting the television program Call to Victory. I kept on coming up with one reason or the other for why I couldn't do it. I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have that. I can't this for this reason, and so on and so forth. And in August, he tells me flat out, he says, listen, if you don't get on television and start this program by the end of September, I'm going to have to look for somebody else. I said, what do you mean you're going to have to look for somebody else? When the fire got on me, I started looking at what I had. And then what I knew I had was that I knew that there were television stations around. I didn't know that they could carry me, but I knew also that I had cameras. I had cameras, and we had been taping for the longest time. So you've got cameras, and you've got a crew that tapes. Yeah, I got that. Okay, get on it. So I started calling, and I called at that time Miracle Channel. I told them, the fire is on me. I got to be on television like right away. And if I'm not on television by September, God says, I'm fired. So they said, okay, we'll take you on. What do you have? I said, I got cameras. Do you have a studio? I said, no, but we'll come up with something. So, no lighting. I went to Canadian Tire and I bought garage lights. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Amen. We started out with garage lights. We still have some of the garage lights in there now. We started the first program, and all you could see was eyeballs, man. The picture was so bad, but they aired it, and they said, you need lights. By now we said, I was clueless on what to do, but September we were on, and we've been on since then till now. Somebody shout hallelujah. What do you have? It's not what you don't have. You have something. You have something. You do. You just think you don't. But I tell you what, the MacGyver anointing's got to get on you sometime. where you take whatever it is that nobody knows how to work, will work you out of your problem. Glory be to God. There is an anointing on your life. If you have nothing that you think, or so you think, you don't have, this you do have. You have Jesus. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the one that is in you is the one who brought something out of nothing. Is somebody in this house? He brought something out of nothing. And he can do something extraordinary with your life. With whatever it is that you present to him. Jesus, our Lord, was ministering. And as he was ministering, the Bible says, he was in a desert place. There was no food, nothing. And the people were very tired, ministering to them for days. And so it tells us in Matthew 14, if you may take me there for a moment, Matthew 14. Verse 15. Matthew 14, in verse 15. I'll come back, hopefully before the end of the message this morning, to 2 Kings. But just in case I don't get back there, I know you know the rest of this story. The woman borrowed many vessels. She shut herself in. And the Bible says she began to pour the oil in all of those pots. And as she was pouring it, she was experiencing miracle after miracle after miracle. She was awed by what she was experiencing. And so she's so excited, she finally says, "Get me another pot." But there was no more. And the Bible says the oil stopped flowing. It only stopped when there weren't any more vessels to fill. As long as you give God an opportunity to do the miraculous, He will continually do it until you stop. Stop what? Believing. You say, wait a minute. She was still believing when she asked for another pot. No. She stopped believing when she stopped asking for more pots. Somebody listening? That's when she stopped believing. When God gives you an instruction, do the instruction and don't stop. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Because if she believed strongly that this oil was going to fill all those pots from the very beginning, while she was filling the pots, she would take the pots outside and bring some more pots in and have the biggest oil business in all the land. Hallelujah. Because she had two sons. One son would be bringing more pots. One son would be selling the pots. Glory be to God. Where is this oil coming from? It's the anointing. And everybody wanted. Who doesn't want the anointed oil? Special oil. Let me take some of that oil and go and pour in some more pots for myself. Your miracle does not stop with you. It's supposed to impact other lives. The Bible says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.'" Next verse. "And Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give you them to eat.'" Next verse. "And they said unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is all we've got. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And what does he say? He said, "Bring them hither to me." Bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes you have and give it to me. Give it to me. That's all you've got? Give it to me. And next. "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the" what? "Multitude." He broke it, he blessed it, gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. "And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full." Same text, Mark 6, verse 38. Mark chapter 6, and verse 38. And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? How many loaves do you have? What does he say? Go and what? See. Go check out and see how many loaves you've got. And when they knew, they say, five and what? Two fishes. What did he say for them to go look for? Loaves. But in the process of them looking, they found out they had more than he had asked for. He asked them to go look for loaves, and they came and said, we can't have just bread. We've got to have some protein with it. Hallelujah. Yeah. So they come up with two fishes and five loaves. But the instruction was, how many loaves have you? Go and see. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but it's somebody that is going to have to see certain things this week. Hallelujah. There's something you need to see. Something you need to see about yourself. Something you need to see about your environment. Something you need to see about what you have in your hand. Because that is your miracle connection. Knowing what you've got. What do you have? What do you have? You know, sometimes people tell us what we have and we look at what we've got and say, it's nothing. Because, see the next statement. He says, he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Next one. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Now he ministers to them, and the miracle was established. Same passage, Luke chapter 9. Take me to Luke chapter 9 for a moment. Luke 9, beginning to read from verse 13. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but five loaves and two fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. 14. For they were about 5,000, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by fifties in a company. Now, common to all of the text is this, that God, the Lord, placed them in order. The miracle did not happen until they were in order. Say that again. The miracle did not happen until they were in what? Order. He put them in order. Because God operates in an atmosphere where there is order. The first thing he did in Genesis, when there was chaos all over the place, first thing he did was to bring light into place and then began to put everything in proper order. Then he brought the man to the place. Whatever it is God wants to do in your life also follows the pattern of order. Disorder will not do. He has to put things in order for certain things to happen. When there is the presence of disorder, God has to eradicate it
so that he can do what he wants to do. Because disorder burns your energy. Disorder distracts you. It removes your focus. Are you with me? This is all we've got. But what is all of that going to do among so many? That's not your problem. God will take whatever it is he's got to produce whatever it is he wants to produce. God will take whatever it is that you've got to do whatever it is that needs to be done. This child of God has been a guiding principle that has kept me sane. Because if I were to look at my circumstances, it would drive me crazy. But I've learned this. God will take whatever it is I have to produce whatever it is that needs to be done. If that means God maneuvering you and taking you from one place to the other, he will do whatever it is. But you've got to give him something to work with. What is it that you're giving God to work with? Come alongside with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. We're talking about what it is that we've got. What's in your hand? Just a little pot of oil? Just 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What is it that you've got? I don't know what I've got. You know, I work at McDonald's. If you knew what you got working at McDonald's, you would not say, I just work at McDonald's. Because there in McDonald's, you're learning all kinds of things. You can go on and on and on and count all the things that you're learning while you're working there. And those things are applicable in other areas of life. Do you know how much management goes into you going there to that window and getting your burger, and the next person comes and they get theirs, and the next person comes and they get theirs, and it's just happening, and just people are just going on and on and on? Have you ever gone there when they are having the speed thing, and if you don't get your McDonald's order in 30 seconds, it's on us? That's organizational skill. So I only have grade 12, but I'm manager at McDonald's. Oh, if you can manage that, you can manage a lot. Don't say that what you've got is just nothing. It is something. It is something, you just don't recognize it. Whatever it is that you have is part of the answer that God is going to use to do whatever he needs to do. Right here in this house, needed giftings in different aspects for the ministry. I didn't know that anyone really had those necessary skills, but I did know this. I had people that had certain skills, and I did know this too. I had hands, and these hands can be laid on people. And if I lay these hands on them, God is going to give them creative ideas, and they are going to do what they did not learn in school. And they are going to produce what I need on this other side. So, but I know they had certain skills. So I laid hands. And I got the results I needed on the other side. Not because they went to Red River College to learn how, but because God's anointing can be downloaded. If there's first the willingness of heart, there is nothing we as God's people cannot do. Which of the men that Moses used to put together the Ark of the Covenant knew how to work with gold when all they did was laying bricks? But God said, when they had the willingness of heart, wisdom was imparted into them. And they were able to do what they had not learned. First, the willingness of heart. God, I want to be used. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. Because when you are willing to be used of God and there's a willingness of heart to be involved in whatever God is involved with, God will impart into you what you don't have. But you've got to start with something you're willing to bring to the table. Because if you don't bring anything to the table, you are not qualified to be at that table. You've got to have something. You say, well, I really don't have anything. Are you alive? Yes. Well, let all that have breath praise the Lord. And when the Bible says, when all the earth praises the Lord, the earth shall yield its what? Increase. Maybe that's all you've got, praise. Then do all the praising, because out of the praising, increase shall come. What do you have? What do you have? Investigate for a moment. Check it out, because you've got something. You've got something. You've got something. I have something. Whatever it is God calls you and I to accomplish, we've got something to bring to the table so that God can do what God can do. Amen? After all, the word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. As we pursue understanding, I'm going to come to Exodus chapter 4 in just a moment. Exodus 4, if you may go there. Exodus 4, 1 through 6. Moses is before the Lord. God is having a discussion with him. in chapter 3, and we come to chapter 4, and it starts out this way and says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." God, they're not going to believe me. God is sending him back. God is speaking to him. And says, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe that you appeared to me. They're not. They're not going to believe you? No, they're not. And the question of the Lord is this. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" They're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe that you appear to me. What's that in your hand? God says. Doesn't God know what's in his hand? What's that in your hand? Moses says, "A rod." A rod. Great. It's nothing, just a rod. Just a rod. Just an old stick. Oh, yeah. You want to see what a stick will do? Just a rod will do? Do you know what future you have with this rod that you're calling just a rod? Because when I touch your rod, certain things are going to happen. It's a rod. Throw this rod down. Throw it down. And so I cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became what? A serpent. The rod became a serpent. And what do you think he did? He ran. It's a rod. You're running from a rod, Moses. And Moses will say, "No, no, 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 I'm not running from the rod. I'm running from a snake." Where did the snake come from? I don't know, but I know I put the rod down and the rod became a serpent. Why did God cause it to be a serpent? Because you see, Moses had established a pattern in his life already. You say, what pattern? It was a pattern of running away. It ran away from Egypt. And God wanted this man to come back strong and mighty, a man that will not run away from anything. And God wants to move me from the place of fear, doubt, and confusion, from the place of running away from circumstances, and bring us to the place where we can stand and say, "I am here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to do what God says I can do." Somebody shout hallelujah. The rod became a serpent. God says to him, "Pick that snake up by the tail." Oh, yes, right. You want me to do what? Pick the snake up. Like how? By the tail. Oh, so that the snake can turn around and bite me. Bible says, and he put forth his hand and what? Caught it. In other words, you see, it didn't say he put out his hand and took it. He says he caught it. In other words, instead of running away from the snake, he ran after the snake. Are you with me? There are times that you need to run after what you are afraid of. If you want restoration. I said what? If you want restoration, you're going to sometimes run after what you are scared of. If you want what? If you want what? If you want what? Restoration. Because when he caught it, it became a rod. It reverted to what it was. But so he thought. He thought it was still the same rod, but it was no longer his rod. It was now God's rod. Amen? It was now God's rod. He caught it and it became a rod in his hand. And he says, and he said, actually, let me go on. It became a rod in his hand that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob had appeared unto thee. And he said, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now, watch this now, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put forth his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was what? Leprous as snow. Reaction. You put your hand, you bring it out, and it is leprous as snow. What is your reaction? Are we screaming? But you cannot run away from your hand. He's there. He's looking at this. But the power of fear was now broken. Because God says, put it back in your bosom. And he does. When he pulls it out, it was normal. What is all of this? Serpent, leprosy. Serpent, leprosy. What is the connecting factor? The connecting factor is this, that God was showing to him, listen, it doesn't matter what the devil wants. The devil can come into your business. But I don't want you to ever be afraid of what the devil is doing. Be secure in what I have invested in you and have no fear. Grab that snake. Because the serpent is representative of deception, of the devil. And God was saying, don't be deceived. Grab a hold of that thing that's trying to deceive you and take control of it. Grab a hold of that thing that's saying to you, you don't qualify, you're a sinner, you're a bad person. Grab a hold of it and understand that I am your righteousness. Don't give the devil the opportunity to run your life and ruin it. Don't allow yourself to believe something that is not true. The only thing you need to believe is what God believes about you. And he says that you are his righteousness. Believe that. Hallelujah. Believe what God says, not what the devil is busy spouting out. Because the greatest source of defeat. It's not in our lack of believing God. You ask the average man or woman, do you believe God can? And they will say, absolutely. Do you believe God will do it for you? That becomes the problem. That becomes a problem because we don't have a sense of believing what God says about us. And God is saying to us, you've got something in you that I can use. And you and I are busy saying, I don't think so. I don't think so. There's no way you can do this miracle with this. There's no way you can do such and such with my life. No, it's not possible. It's not possible. And you know why you don't believe that it's possible? Because just like anything else, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you believe the lie, it's because you have heard the lie. Anything that is keeping you and I down is keeping us down because of whatever lies we have heard and believed. What are you believing about yourself? And who told you? Because the first thing God said to Adam and Eve is, who told you you are naked? Who told you? I sure didn't tell you you were naked. Who told you you were naked? The devil is there to tell you about all the reasons why you cannot. Why you will not make it. Why you are destined to fail. Why you are going to die from this sickness. Why you are going to be broke all of your life. Why and why and why and why and why you're going to this and that and so on and so forth. But it's all a lie. Because I have one why. I know I will succeed. I have the greater one in me. And he's greater than the devil and all his courts in the world. I have a why. One with God is a majority. Everybody can leave you. But when you are with God, you are the champion. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 What is it that you're looking for? And why do you think? Why do you think that what you've got cannot produce what you need? Why? Think about that. Think about that for a moment. Moses, do you know what this rod is going to do? No. It's going to cause them to believe that I sent you. This stick? Yeah, this stick. Because of this stick, they're going to believe me. Yeah, because of this stick. Okay. So he comes to Pharaoh's court. He throws his stick on the ground. It becomes a serpent. And guess what? Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. Is that all you got? Is really? You kidding me? Huh? You kidding me? You putting a stick in the ground? Okay, yeah. And theirs became serpents too. Oh, I've been hungry, Mr. Pac-Man. Moses' rod that became a serpent ate up all of theirs. He kept on doing miracles with his rod. And they kept on marching until it became obvious. This is too much. We can match up. Well, listen. The enemy will challenge whatever it is you've got with whatever it is that he thinks he's got to make you feel like you have nothing. But never ever believe that you have nothing. Because whatever it is that you have, you've got. And whatever it is that you've got will accomplish whatever God wants it to accomplish. Because one day, that rod is going to be stretched over a Red Sea. And the waters are going to part. The children of Israel are going to cross over to the other side. And when they tried to do the same thing, they all drowned. It was also just a rod. Just a rod. But it was God's rod. It was what God was going to use to impact everyone around him. And he's still doing the same thing. What do you've got? What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? I don't know who the author is or who the writer. I don't remember the name of the author right now. But my daughter and I were watching a movie just the other day, and there was this lady that for years had been writing, just putting some stuff together on scrap paper or whatever. It didn't look like much. She had an abusive husband, is kicked out, and she's going through life struggling, and things were not going the right way for her. And one day, a sister was reading her stuff. She says, "Wow, this is good. This is good stuff. Really, you think?" She said, this book material. So she started trying to find a publishing company to publish her, and she's been turned down left, right, and center, but she kept on and kept on, kept on and kept on, and finally somebody picked her up and they published her. And today, I'm not going to tell you who this person is, but today she's one of the wealthiest people around, published all over the world, movie rights and all kinds of stuff, but it was what she had in her hand. It just needed to be published. And today, she's so wealthy, doing all kinds of stuff. But it was all in a box. And she's broke on welfare. But she was possibly a billionaire. But it was all in a box. Is it possible that you have millions in your house? In your hand, in your mind, in your voice? Is it possible? Amen. Is it possible? Is it possible that there are things around you that you have not recognized? Going past it day in, day out, but you do not recognize it.